Good evening, family of faith. Welcome. So good to be in the house of the Lord again this evening. Please have a seat if you haven't picked one yet. We're going to go ahead and get started. I have three short announcements. The first one is the Out of the Cave small group. That's on Wednesdays. It's going to be during church. So, and Tori runs that group. So if you have any questions, let her know. There's a sign up in the back. And then we're going to have our bowl. It's becoming annual at this point. Our annual bowling night. That's probably going to be at Southwest Lane. So there's no sign up yet. There will be one back there. So just mark your calendars. That's going to be September 13th. And that's always so much fun. So try to make that if you can, September 13th. And then lastly, we signed up for the Hoopla Parade. We're going to have a float. To represent Urbana. There's a sign up in the back. There's two parts if you want to help make the float and if you want to ride on the float. So you can do both. You can do one or the other. Anybody of any age can help with that. So you can walk alongside. You can sit on the float and throw candy or hold a sign that says you're welcome here. If you want to help, please sign up and we'll find a place for you. Let me know if you have any questions. I think I'm spearheading that, if you can't tell. Yes, but I'm excited. So please, let us know if you have any questions about that and sign up in the back. And then also, the Lost and Found has been emptied out, so there's a table back there. Please just browse by that if you have a chance. I've seen there's some women's sweaters, there's some men's jackets and kids' stuff too. So if you're missing anything, just have a quick little look-see. I don't know how long it'll be back there. Yay! Well, welcome again. Please stand on your feet and let's worship Jesus this evening.
Thank you. through every path, through every heartbreak, through every circumstance. And I believe that you are my fortress, and you are my portion, and you are my hiding place. And I believe you are the way, and the truth, and the life. And I believe you are the way, and the truth, and the life. And I believe through every place, you are provider, you are protector, you are the one I love. And I believe you are the way, and the truth, and the life. And I believe you are the way, truth, and the light. I believe you are. And it's a new horizon, and I'm set on you. And you meet me here today with mercies that are new. And all my fears and doubts, they can all come true, because they can't stay long when I'm here with you. And it's a new horizon, and I'm set on you. And you meet me here today, all come to, because it can't stay long. You are the way, and the truth, and the light. And I believe you are the way, and the truth, and the light. Set on you, and you meet me here today with mercies that are new. And all my fears and doubts, they can all come to, because they can't stay long. I'm here with you, and it's a new horizon, and I'm set on you. And you meet me here today with mercies that are new. And all my fears and doubts, they can all come true, because they can't stay long when you are the way, and the truth, and the light. And I believe you are the way, the truth, and the life. I believe you are.
You are worthy of. time you're worthy. You are worthy of it all.
Just gonna go back into this bridge again, and what this time is talking about, day and night, night and day, let incense arise. That constantly his worship should be on our lips. We should constantly be giving ourselves as a living sacrifice to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We should be willing to break our alabaster box upon his feet and wash him with our hair, because we just care about him so much. We should be willing to give him everything that we have to give, because he first gave to us. So even if you're not there yet, I just encourage you just to declare these words over your life, that day and night, night and day, that your worship will arise, that you will say yes to him and no to everything else. Even if you mess up, you're going to turn right back around and say, no, I'm giving myself to you, Lord, as a living sacrifice. I want to be pleasing in your eyes. I want to give my alabaster box to you, everything that I have, everything that I've saved, everything that I've worked for. You can have it, because it's nothing. When I look to you, Lord, you are everything to me. You are what I live for. You are what just sing this together and mean it. We give you all we have tonight, Father.
Day and night, night and day, let incense rise. Day and night, night and day, let incense rise. Day and night, night and day, let incense rise.
Lord, we give you the glory tonight. You deserve it all, Father. Amen. You are so, so good. Hallelujah. Isn't he good? He's so good. Anyways, we're glad to have you guys here tonight. If you would, go around and greet some of your family of faith this evening.
Amen. Now we're getting all the kids checked into kids' church and all of that business. But it's good to have you while they're doing that. I think we got the first week of school coming in, and parents are home getting their kids acclimated and all that. So I'm glad to see all of you. My goodness, it's good to have you. If you have something to give tonight, you can prep it at this time, offering envelopes and chairs in front of you. If not, wave your hand around and one of the ushers will help you out. But our giving is a continuation of our worship. And as we give, it's just, I want to honor God with all parts of who I am. Not just a certain part of my life or a certain part of the things that I have, but I want to honor him with the entirety of who I am. Amen? And the biggest thing that I have outside of me is money. True? And stuff, right? Accumulation, acquisition, things that I've acquired. Well, I want to honor God with that stuff too. And the first way I honor God with those things is to bring up my tithe into the church. And I tithe because Abraham tithed to Melchizedek, Melchizedek being the foreshadow of Jesus. And this is before the law, this is before Moses, before all that business. I don't tithe because of the law. I tithe because of Abraham, our father in faith, setting an example of the spoils of the war, bringing a tithe to the foreshadow of Jesus. So I think it's a good precedent. I think it's a wise rule of living to be a tither. In other words, when the income comes into your life, the very first thing is your tithe, your 10%. That comes into the storehouse to what feeds you, okay, the church. If this is your family of faith, then your tithe comes here. Offering is if you feel the Lord puts something on your heart above and beyond your tithe, okay, and that can be designated. By the way, do you know if you bring an offering and you designate it for a kids' church, it has to go to kids' church. In other words, if it's designated, it has to go to where it's designated to. That's the rule of the IRS. But anyways, but we bring our, because of honor, the tithe is an honor, but then offering is obedience. You see? So when the Lord drops something into your heart to do, I think it's best to do it. Right? There was one time, Margo and I, there was a guest speaker before we were here at this church, and they took up an offering for the speaker, and the Lord dropped a number in my heart to give. And it was, for that time in our life, it was a big number that I knew wasn't just, hey, this money pulled out of my back pocket. And I was just like, hey, you know, when you feel that way, and if you're married and you go to your spouse, you're kind of like, hey, you know, I was kind of thinking, you know. And she said, the Lord put something in my heart, too. I said, oh, yeah, what he put in your heart? And it was the number that she said was the number that I got, this exact same number. And again, for both of us, it's a step of faith. But see, when the Lord drops those things, what do you need to do? Obey. It was not, again, just something we could just flippantly give. It was a little bit of a sacrifice for us. Today it wouldn't have been as much a sacrifice, but that day it was. That time in our life it was. So we gave. And not that this is the case of what happened, but God honored it. It was funny because service was over. They took up the offering last for the guest speaker. We go to leave, and somebody in the church that knows us came up to us and said, hey, I don't remember when they said so, but the Lord dropped it on our heart to give you guys some money. I'm like, you know me. I'm like, Said no, and they gave us and walked away. It was a check back when we still wrote checks. And I opened it up. It was exactly double the amount what we gave. All right. Now, it's not that every time you give, you can expect that to happen. The point is, when you are obedient, you allow the Lord to do things towards your life of favor because of your obedience. You see what I'm getting at? When you're not obedient, well, then there's times I think the favor of the Lord can come to our life. And that's for a lot of different things, not just your giving, but obedience sets up favor in certain things, okay? So when the Lord drops things in your heart, obey. And I'm not just talking about giving in church. I know it's nice to say this before I take the offering. But when you're out and about and the Lord drops things in your heart, listen to him. There's a reason for it. And it's not just the action of what you do, but there is a reaction because whatever you sow, you shall reap. Right? That's the law of the kingdom of God. One of the laws of how the kingdom of God works is whatever you sow, you'll reap. If you sow to sinful things, you will reap of it. If you sow to righteousness, you'll reap of it. You sow in obedience, then it just opens God to do things that he can and wants to do in your life. Get what I'm saying? So our giving is not just an honoring of God, but at the end of the day, it's an obedience too, all right? So let me pray over your giving tonight. Lord, we thank you. Be able to give tonight, Lord, I pray blessings as we give. And I pray, Lord, that the windows of heaven are constantly bestowing seed into our life so we can be sowers. That you supply seed to the sowers, not so we can keep it, but that we sow. And Lord, the blessing that comes into our life is not for us to keep and hoard and build bigger barns, but you have plans in the kingdom for what you do with blessing. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, we all say. Amen. You can bring it. And don't forget, Joy Fellowship is this Sunday. I forgot this on Sunday. Bill and Patsy tried to stone me when I was leaving the church. I'm kidding. They didn't. It was funny because they always say Joy Fellowship. And I totally forgot Sunday. Margaret will tell you. I literally sat down in the car. I mean, service is over. I'm thinking about a lot of stuff. I sat down in the car. I forgot to talk about Joy Fellowship today. So Bill gave me a note tonight. Joy Fellowship, one of our small groups, is happening this Sunday at 5 o'clock. Be there for that. It's for the older crowd in our church. It's a carry-in. They talk about some stuff. It's a great time. And by the way, if you haven't connected to a small group, your small group started last night, right? Go okay? Okay, good. So small groups are in full swing. Thomas, when's your first one?
Thursday after tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
No,
the next Thursday. Okay, so Thomas is doing more basic discipleship. If you're newer to the faith, that's for you. Talk to him about where they're meeting. So lots of small groups are happening. So if you need information, let me know. And then next week during church is youth hangout. So I know a lot of people are out getting their kids acclimated to school this week. Next week's youth hangout, 5th to 12th grade. And as always, we have kids church happening every time we're here. Having said that, let's get our Bibles out. Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to be spending, a few weeks on Wednesday nights in Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to be talking about faith. They're not exactly sure who wrote the book of Hebrews. Some think it was Paul. Others think maybe Apollos. Most likely it's not either one of those, but we don't know. But the writer of Hebrews is the great. If you want to understand Old Testament, old law coming into New Testament, new law, new covenant, Hebrews is the place to go. But it has an interesting chapter, Hebrews chapter 11. Excuse me. It's called the Hall of Faith. And what we're going to be doing over the next few weeks is we're going to be just kind of going through this chapter. And there's examples of people that we find in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, of their life of faith with God. And we're going to kind of go through them over the next few weeks as they're sort of listed here in Hebrews 11. But we're going to start tonight and just talk about faith a little bit. And we'll pick up some of those characters from the scripture starting next Wednesday. We are to be people who live by faith. Amen. The Christian life is a life of faith. Now, faith is not something unto itself, but faith is simply a relation towards God. Okay? Let's read Hebrews chapter 11. And verse number 1, let's talk about this for a little bit. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, is the conviction, of things not seen. Can I have that?
Yes.
Ooh, it's a Stanley.
Not
little commercial for you.
Yeah.
I'm not supposed to tip it. That's like a straw. Oh, man, I just about doused myself. Anyways. How many of y'all own a Stanley?
It was a gift from work.
Yeah. Am I even going to say what I was thinking? All right, anyways. Depending on translations, they have different ways of putting now faith is in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. But as it says here in ESV, it is the assurance of things hoped for. So faith is, in our hearts, the assurance of the things that we hope for. What do we hope for? Well, ultimately, our great hope is the things that are coming. That is new heaven, new earth, kingdom come, and find out. So faith is assurance in my heart of the ultimate end of things that I hope for. That's faith. But how many know, or how many of you do, hope that God operates and interacts with your life right now? Amen. Faith is the things that I hope for. Okay? And secondly, it says there then, it is the conviction of things not seen. And again, I think in the context, it's pointing towards, I haven't seen the coming of the kingdom in finality yet. So I have faith that it is coming. But yet, I do know that the kingdom is now. And I have a conviction in my heart that the things that I do not see exist and are operating. Now, some of you may have. I have not. I've never seen God. Right? I've never personally seen Jesus. He long ascended before I was alive. I've never seen the Holy Spirit manifest physically. But yet I believe. Faith. I have conviction in my heart, even of the things that I have not seen. And certainly, a growing assurance of all that I hope for that God is doing in this world to me specifically, but big picture for what he's doing in all things. So that is faith. So faith, ultimately, is an active belief. I believe. But faith then carries a connotation to it, but also trust. I trust that God is there. I trust what the scriptures say he is doing, he's actually doing it. And I trust it so much that I have willingly given my life to it. That's a life of faith. So I simply believe and I trust in God. Now, how does faith come? And I'm not going to have you go to the scriptures, but if you're writing these things down, I think Noel's back there. You don't have to go there, Noel. Romans 10:17, write that down. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and by hearing of the word of God, or the word of Christ. Okay, so how does faith begin in your life? Faith is sparked when you hear the gospel. Faith is enabled because you have heard the good news, and now you're sparked in your heart to believe and respond. That's how faith starts. Matter of fact, the Bible says that Jesus is the author, he's the one who begins it, and in the ongoing work of the Christian life, he is the perfecter of our faith. See that? So faith is born in you by him as a response to the gospel, hearing the good news. But in the ongoing Christian life, Jesus is the one who grows it and matures it and perfects it. So much so that Romans 1:17, again, you don't have to go there, Noel, but write it down. Romans 1:17 says, the righteous live by faith. Now, how many of y'all have given your life to Jesus? You're the righteous. I know you don't feel like it sometimes, but you're the righteous. The righteous will live by faith. And Paul, who writes that, is quoting from the Old Testament when he says that. The righteous live by faith. So in other words, our life is guided by active belief and trust in God. Faith is no good if God's not there. Faith by itself is not something. Faith is the connector. I believe. And I live my life entirely. Listen to me. I have given my life entirely over to God. In other words, that's a life of faith. I trust that when I die, that's not the end of the show. If that's the case, I did a whole lot of stuff for nothing. Isn't that true? I mean, the Christian life, the ethics of it, it's good stuff. You're a good person. I get it. But there's a lot of things that I did do that I didn't need to do. Tithing. I think all the money I'd given to the church, what I could have done with all that money. Right? I mean, you think about the things you do. How much time you've actually spent in church because you want to learn. Things you could have did. All the volunteering hours. You know, I mean, your life as a Christian is wrapped up by the fact that you believe. I trust that when I die, there's what's to come, as the scripture says, what's to come. I've given my life to it. The righteous live by faith so much that it's entirely changed how I live. You see? The righteous live by the faith in God and what he does. As a matter of fact, you can write this one down again. Noel, you don't have to go there on the screen. 2 Corinthians 5:7. It says that we live by faith and not by sight. We don't live by what we see, although we don't deny reality, but yet faith takes us beyond that. Is that true? I don't see the kingdom of God and finality waiting in the air to come. So I don't live by sight in all things. I don't live by just what I see physically now. I believe beyond that. All the way down to the things the scriptures teach us. If I have a sickness in my body, it's there. I don't deny reality. I don't have to not say it, as if I say it, then it makes it worse. But yeah, I believe in a God who heals. I live by faith and not by sight. That I believe God can deal with what I see. In other words, my faith takes me beyond what I see. You see what I'm getting at? Struggles in life, financial issues, you name it. If we believe God is active in our life today, then we believe then that we can call upon him, cast our cares upon him, and see him respond. That's faith. Faith is we believe. So we live by faith and not just by sight as we live this life. Now, Noel, you can go. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But here's the thing about faith. Hebrews 11, 6. Again, we'll jump into some of the characters of Hebrews 11 starting next week, but I want to just point to a couple things. Hebrews 11, 6. And without faith, it's impossible to please him or to please God. For who would ever draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. How many of you want to please God? You know how you please God? Live by faith. Live by faith. Faith pleases him. Faith that trusts him, pleases him. It's kind of like a faith that, again, it takes some courage and some risk to live, you know? In other words, that you're betting everything on him. You're betting the house on him. That kind of faith pleases him. That if it came down to it, you'd be willing to risk it all on that he exists. You'd be willing to risk it all that he rewards those who seek him. You would be willing to risk it all. Even if you lost everything in this world, you'd risk it all in faith that he's there and that the kingdom's coming. That kind of faith pleases him. And as we get into the stories that we see here in this chapter, it is people risking who they are and what they have and placing it on him. Following a direction, hearing a word, responding to it, doing things with their life that they would not have done if God had not gave them the word. You see? That kind of faith pleases him. It's a faith, again, that takes some courage. You know, I was telling this story just at offering. So when we gave what we gave at that time, I don't remember what it was. It was $500, $1,000. I don't remember what it was. We weren't struggling financially, but yet it took some courage to write that check and drop it in the offering bucket because we just didn't have it. But it was a little bit of a risk that we heard God and had given ourselves to him in such a way that we'd be willing to do that. See, sometimes faith causes you to step out a little bit. It takes courage to live by faith. You see? That kind of faith pleases him, that you'd be willing to risk that much on him. So if we say that we're people of faith, my question is, are you living your Christian life in such a way that it takes some courage to do so? In other words, here's the thing. How truly different is your life because you believe? So if you took God out of the equation and tomorrow you stopped believing, how much would your life really change? You think about it. Do you really live your life every day as if you need him? That's a big question. I think we can live our life every day and just go to him when we want. But do you live by faith in such a way that you live life every day like you need him? That takes courage. You see? And that kind of courage that he can literally then lead you and guide you, mold you and shape you. Faith, again, is if you were playing poker, it's putting all the chips on the table. All in. That's how much you believe. So much so that the witness of the scriptures are the martyrs who literally gave their life, lost their physical living. They believe that much, you know? It takes courage to live that way. That's the kind of faith that pleases him. I want my life to reflect that in such a way that there is no question at all that I was a believer. You know? No question at all. That my life was driven because of a salvation moment when I was 17. Then from the salvation moment, having some moments where God then would lead and guide, like 2 weeks later being called into ministry And then not just that, but then led to where to go to school. And then from that, my first job as a youth pastor in Pennsylvania. Then all of these marks of my life that these things would not have happened if I simply didn't believe. That's what I want. And I want that faith to mark every part of who I am, all of my being, that I live by faith and trust. That when God speaks, you jump and ask how high on the way up, you know? That you have that kind of faith to step out. Not say, I know you said it, God, but let me go count the pros and cons first. Well, let me see what I got in the checking account first. Well, let me go seek some other counsel first. No, if you feel God said, it's good to seek wisdom, but if you feel God said, are you willing just to take the steps and start doing and start responding in faith? That's the kind of stories we're going to run into as we go through Hebrews chapter 11. So I'm going to go to Hebrews 11, 13 in just a minute. Let me make a couple comments about some things I just said, though. Yes, stepping out in faith takes courage to live as we're called to live. But no, just because you're living in faith doesn't mean everything in your life is going to be going good. And I think that's a misconception. Well, if I was living in just the kind of faith I should be, my life would be perfect. That's not true. In other words, we need to learn to be faithful in faith. You know that trust calls us to persevere. I don't see it right now, but I live by faith and not by sight. Persevere. That trust tells me to be patient. I'm be patient through what I'm going through till I see what I'm not seeing now. However long that takes, I stay in faith. What does the Bible say that Jesus, when Jesus returns, will he find what on the earth? Faith. That's what he's looking for. That no matter what is going on, when Jesus comes back, it could be tomorrow, it could be another 200 years, I don't know. I know everybody says this now, but hey, you know, it could be a while, right? But whenever he comes back, the people that are alive on this earth, when it happens, will he find faith in this world? In other words, whatever's going on in society, whoever the president of the United States is, whatever the economy's looking like, whatever your current relationship looks like, whatever your current physical situation is, whatever's going on, if he came back tomorrow, will he find faith in you that you're still actively believing and trusting? He didn't say, when I return, whose life am I going to find that's been perfected because of their faith? He didn't say that. Who's still going to be in faith when I get here? Who's still believing? Who's still trusting? You see? That's faith. And just because you're in faith doesn't mean your life's going to be perfect. That's just not true. But in that, then, we know that faith grows, and it grows as your understanding of the things of God grow, your faith matures. It's kind of like this. You may be new to the Christian faith, and as you read your Bible, you discover things about God. You know what I'm talking about? Or you come to church and the preacher says something that you didn't know about God. Maybe you didn't know that God is a healer. Maybe you didn't know that. You know what happened when you come to understand that? Your faith grows. Because you're discovering God in a new way. So as we are in our faith and as our faith is growing, in other words, what we believe grows, then our faith grows. You see? So faith grows, it does mature, and that goes along with our growth in the Christian faith. But faith is that continual connector to God that should never be severed. So Sunday, we even talk about hindrances to growth. I'm going to close it out this Sunday. We're going to talk about doubt. So come back Sunday. We're going to talk about doubt in regards to faith. Faith is the connector to God that in your life should never be completely severed, even if you begin to doubt certain things or struggle with certain things. But don't let that connection get cut off. Right? And if you stay in faith that way, you will grow, and your faith will grow, and it will mature, and it will be stronger. And you will be a person at some point who is very much unwavering in what you believe. You see? Because your faith is growing, and it's maturing. Strong. Right? So faith is that connector between you and God. You believe, you trust. But here's a big picture kind of kicker to the whole thing. Hebrews 11, 13. Hebrews 11, 13 says this. And it's talking about, some of the characters we're going to talk about over the next little while here on Wednesdays. These all died in faith, watch this, not having received the things promised. Whoa, wait a minute. But having seen them and greeted them from afar and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. Now, wait a second. What's that talking about? It is a reminder, again, that the big picture context of faith is holding on until what is to come comes. For all these people that we call the heroes of faith that are in Hebrews 11, God did amazing things amongst them. But they knew even then that they were still strangers and exiles in this world. And the fullness of what their faith was striving for and grabbing hold of is only in what's to come. So, in other words, you won't get it all now. Hear that? But you will. You will get it. How do I know? You're all going to die. Listen to me. Can I say something that sounds really, really, I don't know the word for this, somber? Is that the right word? If we're all here long enough, all we're going to end up doing is going to each other's funerals. That right word? Morbid. Yeah, okay, that was morbid. That was morbid. But it's the truth, right?
It is.
True?
Everybody knows.
That's evidence of Hebrews 11, 13. But those that have hope, though we will mourn you, we know we're not going to mourn like the world does. Because we know what we hope for, the conviction of things not seen is coming. You see? And there lies our great hope. So yes, faith brings God's interaction and working now. If you read the Gospels, Jesus would say, your faith has healed you. He says things like that. But even the people that were healed by Jesus then still died. Those things are glimpses of the work of the kingdom pushing us and pointing us, their signpost of what's to come. That's our great hope in our faith that we hold on to. Therefore, I believe. I have hope. No matter what's happening around me, I have hope that God is doing what he will do in the here and now. But what he's going to do. That's He didn't, listen to me, you realize he didn't promise you really any reward right now? You know that? He didn't promise you happiness right now? You know that? He didn't say any of that. Our rewards and what to come. That's why we store up treasure where? In heaven. Right? So faith, again, active belief and trust. It is active belief and trust that God is working now, but I'm holding on to what I'm hoping for. And that's what all the people that are listed in Hebrews 11 experienced. Even though God was doing things in their midst, they had a greater hope. They knew something was far off. It was like kind of like through a sheet or something. They could see through. They could see the sunlight, but they really couldn't see it all the way. They knew something was there. That's what drove them. You see? Amen. So when life is not going just as you want, even though you have faith, don't get frustrated at God about it. He has prepared a place for you. And it's not just right here. If it would happen, what's the need for perseverance and patience if it was all right here, everything right now? You wouldn't need it. As a matter of fact, you wouldn't need faith. Amen? Amen. All right, let's be people of faith. Let's live by faith. We'll be talking about this over the next few weeks. Amen? Amen. All right, let's pray. Lord, I ask you to, Lord, I ask that there are those here in this room that their hearts are awakened once again. And their hearts are awakened to your goodness. And yes, you have a plan, even when it's hard to see. And our hearts are weak, and yes, that you will intervene and do incredible things in our lives right now. But our hearts are awakened to the life that is coming. And we put our trust that it will be the case. And that we're a people that don't waver, we don't move, no matter what we see. We're not moved by it. We stand firm. Stand strong. We stand true. Pure before you. And as we grow and as we mature, that we are those that are maturing and growing can look to, grab onto, see some stability in, to be examples for others of what it means to simply live by faith and not move and not be thrown about by the circumstances of life. Strong in you. I pray with that kind of people. For those that are new, that come into the church, that are just brand new to knowing you, they see strength and maturity in the church because people simply are unwavering in faith. I pray with that kind of people. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Church on mission. That's going to be our September call, Church on Mission. We're going to finish Hindrances to Growth Sunday, then all September, Church on Mission. We're going to be in the book of Acts. We got a vision casting Sunday, September 8th or 9th, whatever Sunday that is, second week. Vision casting, Church on Mission. I want our church to be on mission. You guys ready? Now, don't say that unless you're ready.
There you go.
There you go. I'm going to have you stand up here next time, Angela, so when I say that. Amen? All right. We'll see you Sunday morning. Bring a friend out Sunday. Have a very good rest of the week.